In this episode of the Real Life Caddy podcast, I'm very happy to say that I'm joined by Mike Zabo and also a listener favourite, Man Bun, aka Brandon Balestri. It's been quite some time since Man Bun joined us, but he's fresh off the grass with plenty of insight and wisdom as always. We kick off the episode with some very exciting news about a new podcast sponsor, before diving straight into a prolonged caddy story section. Highlights include the caddy dilemma over tipping, a guy who knew our job better than us, and Zabo got a shock when he met one of our players coming out of the bathroom. Our listener mailbag questions touch upon what's been going on in the world of golf, and as always, we sign off by giving out our notable mentions. If you have any questions or comments, please send them in on social media or via email, podcast@glorifieddonkey.com. Thanks for listening, and I really hope you enjoy this episode. Number 106 of the Real Life Caddy podcast. This one is called "Do You Know My Job Better Than I Do?" And we're joined by Zabo. Evening, Michael.
Good evening. Good to be here.
And we're also, it's the return of Man Bun.
Man Bun!
Yes.
Woo! Welcome back, buddy.
Do you like that?
It's good to have you back,
Brandon. Wow.
It's a new toy since the last time you were on.
Yeah. I know. It's been so too long.
Yeah. How are you?
Yeah, things are good, man. Just been working, and that's about it.
The people have been asking for you to come back, so it's good. I mean, the people have spoken, and you're back. We're good to have you back, Brandon.
I'm stoked to be here. It's great. It feels good.
Yes, a lot of people have actually been emailing in or sending text message. Where's Man Bun? Where's he been? So you're back. So that's good. Welcome back.
Thank you very much.
We have a lot to talk about, boys.
Much to discuss.
Before I do that, we have to announce that the Real Life Caddy podcast has an official sponsor.
We do. Big Game Golf.
It's called Big Game Golf, folks. It's a golf app. It's for playing games. It's for having fun. It's for networking. Go to the App Store or wherever you get your apps and check it out. Big Game Golf. That's as much as I can say right now, because what we'll do is we'll actually have the creators of the app on the podcast at some point, and we'll give you a lot more information. But if you are a regular golfer, get out there, check it out.
It's a great app. Yeah, it's a great app. I mean, plug in your info and it's you'll be amazed.
Tremendous. Yeah. We actually, when I went to the Waste Management, we used it one day when we were playing golf. So having organized a golf event myself, six groups come in, 24 players, they all throw you their card. Mm-hmm. You're having to work out handicaps and circling who won the skins, who owes you owe him, etc. This app did it all.
Does it all for you? It's impressive. It really is.
On the Wednesday, we did the old school card thing. Mm-hmm. It took about 25 minutes. Not sure if the money was accurate. On the Thursday,
took
30 seconds.
Yeah. Nice. It's a great app. It's
very, very good.
Yeah. Sounds like a useful tool.
It's basically, for the next 12 months at least, it's going to be the Real Life Caddy podcast presented by
Big Game Golf.
So there we go. Now, Zabo, I'll let you kick off caddy stories. There's a lot to talk about.
Well, where do we want to start? Do we want to start with the title of the podcast, or we dig into that a little later?
We'll go into that a little later. How about how you met that guy we caddied for, Steve, the other day? Do you remember this?
No, I don't. Refresh my memory. So, okay. I've been caddying every day. You know how caddy brain just affects you.
Caddy brain's a real thing.
Steve from the other day. Yeah.
Well, we caddied for some boys the other day, you and I. Mm-hmm. And on the 16th hole, you turned to me and you said, "Oh, by the way, I actually met Steve before I met Steve."
Oh, Steve. Yeah.
See,
okay.
There we go.
Oh,
the
man.
Penny drops.
So it was before the loop. I didn't know I was caddying for the guy, and I was just going to the facilities, and Steve was coming out of the facilities, kind of the head down, walk of shame, and he made eye contact with me. I was like, "Bro, you're not gonna like it when you walk in there." Put his head down, and he kind of destroyed the place. And then we get to the first tee, and I'm like,
"Well, hi,
hey, nice to meet you." I put my glove on to shake his hand because I'm not sure if he washed his hand. So I was like, "Yeah." And we were off and running, and my goodness, I totally forgot. Steve, he, beauty. This guy was right up Gordon's alley. I'm talking double Tito's and lemonade. I mean, he was hitting it hard. The alcohol, the golf ball, not so much. It was terrible.
Destroying bathrooms and double cocktails.
Oh, yeah, man, dreadful. And it's funny, Adam, our pro, we were on the 10th hole that day, the first day, and he looks at me, and Steve's hitting up. He's like 100 yards out, and he, I don't know, skulls one low right, and he's going, damn it, he's playing so bad today. And I look at him, I'm like, well, does he normally play much better? He's like, no, not really. Like he's terrible. He's awful.
He was poor. But that was rather amusing. Now that same loop on the 11th hole, they said, "Oh, are you working with us tomorrow?" I couldn't make it. You could.
Yeah.
I said, "Oh, this is the first time I've ever done this event. There's another caddy called Nick that organizes all the caddies for the event. There's, I don't know, maybe 100.
Oh, golfers. Yeah, I forgot about this too. Yeah,
they're up to like 20, 22.
Wait till you hear this. Yeah.
And he said, "Oh, we're so thankful we didn't have the same caddies as last year. Nick, I think, was going to give us it." Because he went to the meet and greet to organize the caddies.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, oh, yeah, we saw Nick last night. And we just, he looked really shocked because we said, we don't want the same guys as last year. And it was quite obvious that Nick had
already set up the same guys.
And oh, he said, well, when did he text you? I said, I don't know. 6:45 last night. He goes, ah, it figures. We spoke to him about 6:40.
Yeah. So we got the late call and they were happy with the upgrade.
They got the unrequest.
They did.
Now, we mentioned about you know your job, or you know my job better than I do, another job that myself and Zabo had a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Big group, and it was another former NFL player.
Here we go again. Former NFL player again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Took me 5 seconds of meeting him, shaking his hand. I thought, oh, I've met this guy. I know this guy. He's going to be telling me my job.
Seen this guy before.
It's amazing, isn't it, how quickly we can just, very short, hello, how are you, my name's such and such. And he really was. He didn't take long. First hole, I had to work for him. And he's actually coming into the other. It's a four caddy for four, but he's coming into the other people, other boys' putts,
trying to read him.
I'm going left edge, and he goes, I don't see that.
Oh no,
I don't care what you see, bro.
He goes, oh no, I see right side. So what does his mate do? His mate hits it in the right side. Of course, it goes the other way. Oh, Big G was right. I mean, imagine that. But he wasn't the type that you want to go head to head with because he was short, small man syndrome. You know what that's like, boys.
Yeah.
No, indeed.
I don't have small man syndrome.
Either do I. I was actually offended by that comment.
I don't.
Well, Zabo does. Zabo's definitely got it.
No, I do not.
I'm a smedium.
Smedium.
Yeah. I'm not really tiny. I'm kind of big for a small guy.
This individual, I obviously, by the time you get to the sixth hole, he just kept on doing it all day.
Mm-hmm.
Telling other players what to do.
You weren't the only guy who did it to the other two caddies.
On the seventh, the guy said, oh yeah, he doesn't like being told. I said, I bet he doesn't like being told anything.
Indeed.
And he said, he will get just enough information from you so he can blame you.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, 17th hole, he did a birdie putt. I kind of let him, to be honest with you, he was pretty easy to work for because after about 4 or 5 holes, I was like, you do your own thing.
Yeah, you come to realize, you're like, I got to stay away from this guy because nothing good's going to come of it. I can't win either way.
I'll work with the other three. But he asked my opinion in a putt on 17, and of course I said, play it up in here. Really, that's a lot of break. Well, yeah, I said, you want to drop it dead weight. On this line at that speed, this ball should not go past the cup. Of course, hits it 4 feet past twice.
Oh, here we go.
My fault.
Yeah.
I knew that didn't break that much, and you're just...
Can't win.
What happened the next day?
So the next day, obviously, you weren't caddying for him. He got another caddy, and right away, right from the get-go, he said, just so you know, all you have to do is give me yardage. Don't read any putts. I don't want any information, because if you give me any information at all, I will blame you. And the caddy, I actually talked to the caddy after that, and he's like, oh, it's fine. He told me right up front, mm-hmm. and I didn't do anything to him. And I was like, well, good for you.
Mm-hmm.
But the third day, the third day,
the
Wee Wee course. I'm caddying for Chris.
Oh, the Wee Wee.
Yeah. So Chris and Jim, I caddied for them the first 2 days. Jim had to fly back home, but Chris, shout out. I know he's listening to the podcast. So Chris, and then this NFL player's son-in-law, Brady. Okay. And we're on the 13th hole, and this NFL player comes up. He's the group behind us, and he goes, hit 12 greens. I've hit 11 greens out of 12. He's like, three putted 10 of them. And then he walks away, and Brady looks at me, and he goes, that caddy is getting abused today. You have no idea. And then he probably said one of the more profound things I've heard in my last 20 years of caddying. And it really, this stuck with me. And I think it's absolutely true. He's like, you know, some people just aren't meant to take caddies. And he goes, he's one of them. Mm-hmm. He said he could play the hay with Tiger Woods, who designed it. And Tiger could tell him what the putt does. And he would argue with him mm-hmm. all day. He's like, this guy does not need to take a caddy anywhere because he just can't. He can't cope with somebody telling him what to do. To your point, it was profound, and I was like, "Wow!" And you know, that's true of a lot of people. They shouldn't take caddies. You know?
Some people who shouldn't take caddies still take caddies anyways because they like being served.
I know
they like the service,
and I don't like caddying for those people.
Somebody to blame. They like somebody to argue with.
They do. You're right.
Yeah.
Good point, man bun. So we should point out
because then there's just crickets.
There's crickets.
There's nobody to blame, and that's boring for those people.
It is.
Yep. How impressed are you with that?
That's impressive.
I wasn't right. Like
that. I mean, you didn't even know that. I put it on a T form there, Brandon.
This is all new to you.
Now, it's worth pointing out to all the listeners that wee Brandon is back. He no longer has a man bun, but he'll forever be called man bun.
And it's starting to grow out a bit.
Yeah, I'm okay with it.
What happened?
What happened to the man bun?
Yeah, why did you decide? Or did you just say enough's enough?
I think we talked about this about a year ago.
We did.
But I can review briefly. I went out on a date with this local nurse that I had met in a bar at random.
All right.
Okay, and she seemed very receptive to my energy, if you will. And she gave me her number, which is refreshing. And I tried to set up a date with her, and you know, she wound up ghosting me after the second date. And I don't know. I don't know if that's what set it off.
It was a little traumatic for me. She ghosted you because of your hair?
No. After she ghosted me, I thought, you know, I've had long hair for long enough. And I was remembering a younger, fresher, more energetic me prior to me growing my hair out. And I thought, maybe it's just time to cut my hair.
Yeah.
I need to see myself differently in the mirror.
And
I mean, women do weird stuff like that all the time. They'll dye their hair a different color. They'll go get this, that, the other.
All right. True.
I just wanted to, you know, I thought it was time.
Had you forgotten about my offer to pay you to be able to take the scissors to take the bun off?
Well, once they cut the
oh, you let someone else do it?
They cut it off.
Oh.
And then I shipped it back to my parents.
Oh, yeah, I think you did tell
us. Put it in my baby book, Mom and Dad.
And they gave it to a local
wig creator. Nice.
And I think, you know, right. I had just talked about it enough times that I felt kind of like, okay, gotcha. I need to do this.
Tell us, you've been carrying a lot. You told me earlier what you got story-wise.
Well, let's see here. I was, let's start with the most recent one because it's the freshest one. Yesterday, we have the TaylorMade tournament in town. I was asked to caddy for a specific guy, from a friend. He said, oh, this guy just started working at the golf club. He got invited to the tournament, you know, and, you know, people like making connections, right? So he said, I got the legendary Brandon on your bag. You're going to love him.
Mm-hmm.
This, that, and the other. Awesome. Great. So I go meet the guy. Everything's going well. Everything's fine. You know, he did say like, oh, all these clubs are all new. This is a typical thing at some of these pro-am events where people get all these new clubs all the time and they
put them in play.
Yeah. And then they put them in play and they're like, he's like, oh yeah, they're plus one degree. So they're 1 degree strong and you know, this, that, and the other, but they're new clubs. And then the driver, I have two of them and I hit one on the range And so he's like rattling off all this stuff. And of course, he's got an umbrella and a rain gear and all this stuff. And he's like, his bag weighs like 32 pounds.
You're carrying it?
Well, no, I didn't. We wound up putting it on the cart.
But when I put it on the cart, it was heavy.
When I first met him, like, this is the intro that I got. I said, okay. Then I meet his playing partner at random, a bigger guy. They were both actually from Wisconsin, which was kind of interesting. The one guy was a little more Wisconsin-y than the other, but they both didn't play very well. And the point of the story is that I had an okay time with them, but there was no magic out there. Zero magic. And I thrive on the magic. I thrive on the connection. And when somebody doesn't play very well, and I'm like, it's not my fault. You know, you obviously don't play much golf at all, but you came out here to play golf and you're not doing so hot. And you're missing putts, you're pulling putts, you're pushing putts. It's like, you know, maybe you should have practiced before you came out here. And so we get to the end of the round. The one guy gives me 50, and the guy who is, by the way, nobody's paying for any of this, he gives me $60, and he flipped. I watched him. He flipped 100, 200, 300, goes to the 20s.
One, bypass all the 100s.
Yeah. So now, once again, it happens a dozen times a year where any caddy, but specifically myself, I have this anxiety that comes up because I'm thinking, okay, well, what do I do now?
Because, well, set the stage, because you've been set up on this job for 3 days.
I've been set up.
So you're supposed to
be a week ago.
Yeah, you're supposed to be with these people all three rounds.
Okay, so I'm thinking the last 4 days, which I might touch on, this, the loops prior, I have been absolutely crushing it. Crushing it. 300 300 300 300, and I'm just, people we're high-fiving, you know, people are dropping putts, people are excited, and I'm like, this is an absolute dud. And so I just do my normal thing, and I go home and I do whatever, and the guy who set me up with them reaches out to me and texts me.
Oh geez.
He says, why don't you get a flask for our boy in case he gets nervous tomorrow?
Why and I said, get Brandon a little more money?
I said, hey, and I've hung out with this person in previous years and very recently. And so he says, get him a flask, yada, yada. And I say, respond to him. I said, hey, I said, you know, so-and-so didn't play very well. You know, he had a couple beers on the golf course, no big deal. And he tipped me $60, which was disappointing. I said, I tried to stay optimistic regardless of his performance. Although he didn't really seem to be too bothered by it. And so the response was, that's, you know, beep, beep, you know, you should ghost him, you know, blah, blah, blah. That's a bunch of bullshit. He's really telling me to, like, tell this guy to take a hike. And so we talked about it over a little couple texts back and forth. And I came up with the idea that I was going to tell him, hey, I have a regular who's come in and contacted me, and I have to caddy for him. And that's it. It was a pleasure to spend the day with you. I'm sorry I can't make it. Thank you very much.
How did he reply?
Hey, no worries. It was a pleasure to meet you as well.
You see what Zabo does? He said, I have two calendars.
I didn't.
You didn't check the other calendar. I had that job booked.
I didn't like him enough to cause, you know, it's like, I just want to press the easy button out.
Yeah.
And I figured out a way to do it, and everything went well.
In all fairness, Zabo and myself coached you through that last night.
We had a big group text. It's such a touchy subject when you start talking about money, because, you know, we don't want to come out and spell it out for him and say, look, this is what you need to pay me. But at some point, you have to. You have to be like, look, this is not what we work for. You know, I do this for a living. This is what we usually make.
He said, you're not a charity. He's like, yeah.
This isn't a hobby. Yeah.
Okay, so today, what happened was, is I wound up trading that in for two other guys, and I had a great time, and my player shot one under from the blues. The other guy didn't play so well, but he was okay. He had fun. The one guy just crushed it, and he was one of those guys who was real serious. He sounded, I think he was Irish, and he knew what he was doing. He was dressed really well, and so it was
kind
like
Irish.
Just one of those things where it was like, okay, as soon as I looked at him, I was like, this guy knows what he's doing. And I said, hey, I'm here to help you as much or as little as you want. You just let me know what you need from me, okay? He says, deal. And we crushed it. And when he called me in, I shot him straight, and he made everything. And nice. It was awesome.
Awesome.
It was good connection.
Fun when that happens.
I'm glad I traded it in.
Sounds better than my round that I had last week.
Oh, yeah? What happened?
The pro MPCC, Scott.
Yeah,
he texted me about 3 weeks ago, and he said, can you come out March the 2nd, do a loop? I went, sure. Because going across there is like a, when we go off the resort, it feels like a day off.
Kind of, yeah.
And
I said, sure. I agree.
Will it be the Shore Course? Now, the Shore Course is the one that they play the tournament on, and yeah, I've been around that.
I've seen it a handful of times.
I've played it a number of times, and I've carried around it a number of times. And he replied, yeah, should be. So
that's not a yes.
That's not a yes. Well, correct. He said, but it should be. So this was the wedding. The second is a Wednesday. And on the Saturday, I got a text from some other character who said, oh, yeah, I hear you're going to come across. It's a half 12 shotgun on the Dunes course. Well,
here we go.
Never seen the Dunes course. I've driven past it every day for about 2 years.
Do they start
a great golf track?
Do they start you on some weird hole that you don't know how to get to?
Well, that's a tricky
that comes after. I text the pro and said, listen, I've never seen the Dunes course. Any chance we can go out, either take a cart or play? He says, let's play on Tuesday afternoon.
Yeah, perfect.
But of course, the weather was horrendous on Tuesday.
Yeah.
So Wednesday, I text, I said, I'll take a cart. They said, no, it's walking only. Well, I didn't want to see the course that much that I wanted to walk it, right?
Yeah, come on, let's be reasonable. Nobody's walking anything out here.
Let's just run it dry.
Yeah, I'll be okay. Don't worry about it. I'll see you on Wednesday.
So I'll just wing it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I turned up. There was a bunch of boys that I knew. And I said, have you ever seen this? Nope. Seems like a lot of boys are in the same.
Disaster
so
waiting to happen, yeah.
So we started on the third hole.
That's not bad. It's easy to get to any third hole because you just drive past two and you're at three.
One and two. Yeah. Well,
I had no idea where we were going.
Yeah.
And it was fun, actually. Getting asked questions like, where's the next tee?
Don't know, bro.
And you're looking at all it. Luckily, all the tees had sponsors, so they had the big cardboard.
Oh, you got out easy, geez. Yeah.
And have the numbers on them too, and make it real easy.
On the sixth hole, one of the boys said, "So, what's the line off this tee?" And you just kind of have to stall. You kind of go, okay. So through the fairway is 210. Okay, so it looks like the hole goes to the right. Just it wasn't. You know, some of them are easy.
Did you have at least bad players where it really didn't matter? Or?
With one decent player and the other three weren't. Actually, no, there was one horrendous player, actually.
Yeah.
Bilbo Baggins. They were playing a match. They were playing a Ryder Cup match, you know. And he was taking the piss with the mullies.
Oh, really?
Like, we like a mully.
Yeah.
Small bucket.
Yeah.
And he's still trying to play the match. And I'm going... He says, oh, yeah, I got a six there. And I'm looking at the other players and going, well, six. Yeah. I count seven, and that doesn't include the mully. Yeah. But they were asking, oh, what's over there? I have no idea. Absolutely no idea.
You grass, know, trees, maybe a bunker.
But it was good. And I carried for a guy called Teddy, who's going to be a listener. He straight away saw Glorified Donkey on my golf towel, and he subscribed to the podcast.
Nice.
He gave me his number. We've been chatting. And later that night, he texted me and said he'd started listening.
Oh, great.
So the following day, I said, listen, do you think you're going to be a regular listener? He said, yes. Well, I said, I'll tell you right now because I'll be talking about it on the next episode. I'd never seen that golf course before.
And did it show, Ted? You let us know.
And he actually said, you would never have guessed.
Wow.
He said, nice. You know, you can read a putt. And I went, well, most of the time it was okay.
Good.
There was a couple of times where the player went, are you really?
Yeah. And you were like, yeah, but maybe not.
there was a belter where on one of the putts late on in the round, I tell this guy it's a cup outside the left. He goes, really? And usually that would get under our skin.
Yeah.
In this scenario, it didn't get under.
Yeah, then you're like, I could be right. Let me check it.
The other side. Yeah, it was complete opposite. I didn't even bring it into the edge. I went, you know, two balls to the other side of the hole, and sure enough.
It's tricky.
But, oh, dear.
It's a tricky golf course.
It really is. Oh, the greens.
I really like them, and I can tell you I've carried there not a ton of times, but sometimes that I did, I felt like I did pretty good. And there were a couple times when I totally got cross-eyed, caught with my pants down. Like, that was totally the wrong read. Like, couldn't have been further off. But I was convinced.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm the first one to admit it, though. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, that was a bad read.
Have either of you ever worked on a course you've never seen before? Or is it just...
Yeah, I think the first time I worked the Shore course, I'd never seen it before at that Monterey. And the same thing, like, we were shotgunned out to like the 12th hole or something, and I had no idea where we were going. Mm. And I took them to the wrong spot, and it was pretty bad.
Right, the first time I went Shore course, I took the boys from the third green. One, two, third green to 18T.
Nice.
The first...
The guy says, this doesn't look right.
You're right.
Ah, you're right. I say this is the championship tee. Sorry.
Yeah.
As I was looking up the hill and they're looking at the ocean, but we winged that one as well.
That's what you got to do.
The first time I caddied at Spyglass, I got a complaint from my players. It was two singles paired up, so I was carrying a double for two random strangers, perfect strangers. The caddy manager at the time, who's now a caddy,
shocking,
calls me and says, "Hey, Brandon, we need to let you know that you've got a complaint today." And I was I was beside myself. I like, what? I'm like, no way. And he says, yeah, the guy said, you were having a tough time reading the greens. And I'm thinking, that asshole complained about me? And then I kind of got a little upset. And I said, well, what do you expect caddies can't play the golf course? I said, this is my first time on the golf course. I said, why are you even calling me?
Wow.
There you go.
Like,
put him in his
come
place.
On. Really?
That's
he brilliant. Just, he was bored. He had to deliver a complaint.
I had a loop this week, boys. You both. Charcuterie. You guys both work at the Wee Course, okay?
We do.
Third hole, downhill par 3.
Great.
Okay.
Great hole, yeah.
So tell me, if the white tee, what's it playing?
On any given day, 125 to 140.
So there's no wind. Let's say there's no wind.
120, 115.
Yeah. Right. Downhill, does that play for what?
It plays like 8 down from the
if
white.
If there's no wind,
mm-hmm.
it would be, say, 10 less. On a
Yeah, like 15 to the middle playing.
And again, you can call a number, but it depends on the trajectory of the shot.
Okay. But
some people
typically, good shot, no wind, 125 to the flag is going to play... I'd say, 117?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Roughly lovely. Accurate.
I'm glad you said that. So I was carrying with one of your old boys, and my player, who I know really well, I looked at him on the first hole, and I said, pay very close attention to what comes out this guy's mouth, because it's gold. I said, the pencil is going to be on fire today in the green book.
What, and was this a wee course caddy?
Yes. Oh, yes.
What time did you tee off?
Oh, it was first thing in the morning.
Oh, I gotcha. I know exactly who it is.
So,
ooh.
For anyone that's been listening to this podcast from the beginning, we, Neil, actually talked about the snack bar. This caddy actually says, oh, the putt's going that way because the snack bar's there. Right, this is it.
Yeah.
And it started in the third green. He called it the Cypress Pool is that way, meaning Cypress Point.
There's a pole like, towards Cyprus? That's something new. I never knew that.
Imagine if there was
you didn't know that, Mike?
So I basically, if there was a Taco Bell there, he'd have gone right. So you get the Taco Bell pool. And
logical.
On the third hole, we give the number. And he's canning for a guy called Chuck. Now, Charles, he stands up and he's the second to hit. And he thins it. It's quite easily, it's just a thin. And this thing flies over the green. And he turns and just looks. And I've never seen anyone look so shocked from such a shitty golf shot.
Chuck did? Chuck looked
yeah,
shocked?
Yeah, Chuck did.
Okay.
Everyone else knew he thinned it, apart from him. And he's the one that hit it. Really bizarre. So he then goes, oh, no, there's no way. Because we called it 125, playing 125, because the wind was hurting.
Yeah, it typically is.
So he then goes down to his bag. No, no, shaking his head. No. I hit that well. I says, well, you thinned it well. Because I'm not even working for him. And it was kind of annoying me. He goes down, he grabs his rangefinder. He comes up and then he says 125 with slope.
Oh,
105.
No.
I said, is it possible? Impossible.
That's not 105 adjusted.
You need to, he said, with slope. I said, you need to get a new rangefinder. That's wrong.
It's 8 yards down from the white.
Hits a different club, leaves it short of the green. Classic.
Good job, Chuck.
Waste of time. Thanks, Chuck. That's why it plays 5 hours.
then your wee course carry, right? He actually told a player who's over the ball about a putt, he says, stay right where you hit it.
What does that even mean?
Repeat that?
Yeah.
Stay
right where you hit it. So I feel as if there should have been a comma in there. Where it would go, stay right, comma, where you hit it, would maybe have sounded a bit more understandable.
Some people, they've been doing it a little too long. I caddied with that same caddy not too long ago, and he was like, he asked me for a couple reads, and I was like, bro, you've been here like 30 some odd years. Like, I think you should have a pretty good handle on it.
Stay right where you hit it. What does that mean?
Stay right.
That's just like jumbled up words, isn't it?
What is it?
I think, I don't know. We don't need to say his name, but I'm pretty sure it's the same caddy who says, well, let's hit it there down there and see what happens.
Yes. Yeah. So, you know what's worse? The guy hold it. He actually hold the putt.
And I'm looking at it. Good tip, bro. Good tip.
I'm looking at John. I'm going,
great read. Stay right where you hit it.
Maybe Paul understands stuff that we don't. Stay right where you hit it.
What does that mean?
It means nothing. It's just six words. They just jumbled them up.
Stay right where you hit it.
Where
you hit it.
12th hole, downhill, par 3. It's playing 135. First guy hits and he's short. Again, what does that matter?
Nothing.
And your boy says, well, I think it's 140 now after watching that. Because the guy was short. He changed it up. So it's just, I don't know.
Because that first one was pure.
Then he finishes off. This is brilliant. Now, you know how low-key this guy is.
Mm-hmm.
He's really low-key. And we get to the 15th, another downhill par 3. Chuck is standing in between myself and the caddy. And the caddy turns and looks at me, right? And he says, maybe one of these guys will make one here to liven up this group.
That is definitely a comment he would make. Dude. That is classic.
Right in front of this guy, Chuck. Basically just saying, Chuck, you're really boring to me.
You're about as dry as sand in your mouth.
Yeah.
Do something, Chuck.
I was caddying for the same group the following day, and I had one of the boy who stayed right where he hit it, right, and hold the putt. He actually said, on 3 occasions, the caddy said, a ball left or a ball right. And Paul, his name's Paul, he said, well, I kind of see a cup the other side. And the caddy went, yeah.
Right, yeah, I can agree with that. He does, yeah.
Just overruled and just goes with it. But
I love the guy, but I've seen him do that. You're like, yeah,
hey, you know what? That's a man who's been married for about 40 years.
Yeah.
Oh. Hey, yeah. Works for me. Yeah.
I almost feel as if it's a blessing to have that guy. Like, he's brilliant. I love working with him.
He's a good dude. He is a good dude.
But then he goes up the fairway on every hole and says, give me the arm signals.
Yeah. Dude, I worked with, like, the same loop a month ago, and he's like, so he was doing singles for a while. Now he's back to doing doubles. So there was a threesome, and he took the double, and I took the single. He's like, help me out and watch my balls. And, like, I had to show him where his golf ball was every time. It's like, come on, bro.
Well, even with the arm signals left or right.
Yeah, yeah.
So to explain to listeners that sometimes you use hand signals for the other caddy who maybe wants to go and smoke a bowl or something up front.
Exactly. Yeah. Cut your priorities out in the fairway. Yeah.
And smoke a cig, smoke a bowl.
That's it. Arm left, arm right. He was picking clueless.
Those. Yeah.
But everything was safe. Even if he didn't see it, he gave the safe sign.
You're describing him to a T. Yes. This is exactly what he does.
I had another one that kind of went along on the same line as my story about today. We had the Cobra Puma tournament. We've had a lot of these back-to-back-to-back, like, pro club, pro-am things.
Ton of them.
And it's like a lot of them. Of course, day one comes around. Here we go. Bright and early. It's 8-something in the morning. And I get these guys, and they're from a club in North Carolina. I wound up having a great time with them. They were a little corny, a little dry. It was very newbie. It was very dry, but I tried to spice it up for them. We had a good time. They made some putts. They kind of had some weird, real strange, like, golf clubs in the bag. Like what is this thing?
The alien sandwich.
Yeah, like, okay. And so at the end of the round, they're looking to marry this group here, right? And they're like, you want to come with us for the next couple of days? And he had already gave me $100. And I looked at him, and I had that feeling in my stomach, and I just said, John, I'm sorry. I can't make it tomorrow. And you know what? I felt good that I, like, kind of stood up for myself, because, like, it's not my problem that you gave me $100.
Did you like look at it with puppy dog eye and then look down at the money, look at him and I say, put John, it, I'm sorry, bro.
No, I got four pairs of the same pants. I put them right in the zipper pocket because one time I lost $200 and I said I'd never do it again. And so every time I take the tip, I take it right, put it in the pocket, zip it up. So but I never.
Obviously, you knew what it was if you told John you couldn't go with it.
Yeah, no, but I mean, he gave me, it was clear as day. It was unfolded.
Yeah.
And
here
I just,
you go, buddy.
And I just thought, I don't want to do this for the next 3 days. And I just politely declined the offer. And so point of the story is that the next day I get paired up with these four guys who did not like their caddy yesterday.
Home run.
Home run.
Yeah.
Absolute home run. Home run. Yep. They were at the Wee Wee course.
Brandon.
They had a golf they had a caddy who was like been there for a long time, kind of dry, kind of bland. I was like, "What's up guys? How you guys doing?" You know, couple old guys who were still kind of spicy and had a good time. They belonged to this real nice club in Bend, Oregon called Pronghorn.
Oh yeah.
We just had a ball and we were laughing and I mean, I think I teared up even a couple times cuz I was laughing so hard. And I took pictures for him and videos, and like everything went so smooth. And they handed me a super fat tip at the end of the day.
Nice.
And they said, "You want to come with us tomorrow?"
Exactly.
I said, "You know damn well I'm going to be there tomorrow." I said, "Let's do it." And so we did
Maybe
it again.
Maybe you'll see John.
We did it again. Tip was even better the second day. There you go. And they matched it on day three. So the moral of the story is that if you don't know how to wiggle out of a loop, it just at very least to not continue something that you don't want to, you know, continue the next couple of days, just figure it out. Something better's on the horizon.
Something big.
Always. Always.
Now, there's also the time where I caddied for a couple at the Wii course a few years ago, and I'd had my wisdom teeth pulled out, and I had a checkup. So the guy tipped me, and I was fully expecting rubbish. And he said, "Can you come tomorrow?" And I said, "I don't think I can. I have a dental appointment, a checkup from 3 weeks ago. I got my wisdom teeth out," which was true, but I didn't have.
No, that's a good one. That's a solid.
It's solid. I went, "You want to see the scars?" No.
No.
So I walk up to the truck and I, you know, I look at the money and straight away I
see you tomorrow.
I text him back and said, "I'll speak to the wife and see if she can get it reorganized.
I'll be there."
She'll check the calendar.
Yes.
That's classic. There was a
calendar just freed up.
One of those pro-ams we had last week as well. There were a bunch of boys from Canada. They were all pros. It's the type of thing, if they sell a bunch of the product, they get an invite.
Yep. A lot of those
lately. For a couple
lately.
Of days.
A lot of those.
These four.
Incentive trip. I've been working for that incentive trip.
Mergers and acquisitions.
Yeah. Well, I'm in mergers and acquisitions.
You wouldn't believe how many people I've worked for who actually said that.
I know. I
since
hear
you said
a
that.
Lot.
Hey, man, good for them. If you figured out a way to buy and sell companies, then great. Good for you.
So, yes, they're actually four pros. It's not a pro-am. They're four professionals, all from Canada. Really, really good lads. And there's a one guy dressed in pink ahead of us, and they were calling him Connie. And I was like, "Connie?" Because, you know, French Canadian, it could be. That could be. I said, "Why you call him Connie?" He says, "Oh, last night, everything's paid for." Right? So, vodkas, whiskeys, wine, beers.
Mm-hmm.
This company's paying for everything. And this guy, Connie, was the baller. He wanted to show off. So, at the end of the meal, he goes up to the bar and he orders a cognac. Connie.
Okay. Right? Oh, Connie.
Well, you know what? The company, the incentive, hadn't put cognac. Top shelf isn't covered.
Ooh.
So
that's I see where this one's going.
So this lad
is $650, depending on what you get.
You know where we work.
Oh yeah.
You know, it ain't cheap.
It's like some of that stuff's like $650, $700 a shot.
Well, this shot of cognac was $275. At which point he nearly threw up. And all of a sudden he said the color drained from his face. He then starts to try and fight with the barman over it, saying, "No, we everything's on tick here."
And the barman was weird situation.
He already downed it? Like, he downed it and then they told him?
He drunk it and it turns up. The bill turns up. And then I guess that's $374 in Canadian. Because he did the maths on it, and then he made a huge scene about it.
You know how many pairs of loudmouth pants you could buy for that? So,
but, you know, don't order what you can't. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's coming out here for 3
days. That says a lot. That says a lot about that person, though. That's the moral of the story, is that he did it just to spite because it was free. And guess what? Yeah. Fuck, joke's on you, pal.
Yeah, joke's on you.
Joke's on you, bud.
How do we cheap at a free event?
Is that Visa or MasterCard? We don't take Discover.
US, yeah.
It's almost like a caddy during a like almost like a caddy. Ah, ah. What do you got on there?
We were laughing about you. We were laughing about you because Abba was hitting up Chipotle at the AT&T.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Hey, he was eating, free, bro.
He was eating so much Mexican food, he started speaking with a Spanish accent. Unbelievable.
But, see.
Yeah, it reminds me of you.
Muy bien.
Yeah. Senior event.
Yeah. You remember that, Brandon? That senior event? You were there.
Are you still eating that food you threw in the freezer from that senior event?
Oh, you showed up on Sunday after you missed the cut and you saw Gordon there. And Gordon was
like,
why?
What? I didn't have anything better to do.
Yeah. But you know what this one says?
I came there to talk to the old ladies because I had a good time with them.
You knew them all by name, where they lived, their address, everything, date of birth.
Yeah, we're pen pals now.
But he's ripping you, right? That you turned up on a Sunday, you missed the cut. He texts me in the Monday morning. He says, you want to go for breakfast? I says, well, when you teen off? He says, Wednesday, 2:00. This is the Monday morning?
This is pre-tournament, Gordon. You gotta get your fill pre-tournament.
Then he says he doesn't get to go there during the tournament. Right, whatever.
That's true.
Yeah. I don't know. There's a little fibbing going on over there on that mic.
Right. Zabo, what else you got? Anything in the book?
Oh, I have a few things. I caddied for some lovely Canadians, which you don't hear too often. You just heard, you just heard from Gordon with his four Canadian pros, but I caddied for these two guys. This guy was Asian. His name was had Brian and Larry. Brian was Asian, but he was born and raised in Canada, absolutely no accent, and he was mocking the Chinese people all day. He was like, oh, I hit the wrong crowd. I missed a frag stick. I mean, he was just hilarious. And these guys had so much fun. It was unbelievable. And then they're like, can you go with us tomorrow? And I'm like, well, I can't. I got a job at 11:40. And they're like, well, I mean, we're teeing off at 7:40. He's like, well, you probably won't make it, but can you come with us just to see how far you can get? I was like, yeah, if you don't mind me bailing early, I got to leave there at 11:25.
Valid question.
And we had a blast the next day. They're going to be podcast listeners too, but I'm hesitant to even tell you the nickname that they gave Brian. They call Brian. And he named himself this, the Kinky Chinky.
Wow.
Unbelievable. Like this guy is legend. He is last, and he's going to be back. I'm going to bring you along next time, Gordon, because you would love this guy. This guy is hilarious.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love
and
that.
Larry. Larry was a lot of fun too.
Occasionally, we get the people who overpurchase things on their trip, and then they say, hey, we have this extra stuff. Either come by the room or like we have it in our car or whatever, and then you wind up getting things or whatever.
Absolutely.
And a couple weeks ago, my guys were putting the clubs in the car. He says, these four guys from Chicago, he says, hey, Brandon. He goes, you want a bucket of Fireball and some pre-rolled joints? I said, I don't drink. I said, and I don't really smoke weed, like hardly ever. I said, but I mean, if you need to put them somewhere, if you need to give them to somebody, I'll happily take them. I mean, I know people who drink Fireball shots.
But I know 294 other caddies that do.
Yeah. I could probably make a lot of friends with that. And it was on Super Bowl Sunday is what it was. I said, thanks a lot, guys. I said, you just got my entry fee to any party I want to go to on the Monterey Peninsula. Let's see, that and, God, we had a real good one the other day where we called him Angry Chris, and it was in a, it was the tournament that Golf Digest put on, and it was a bunch of random people. It was a thing that Golf Digest put on, and people bought the ticket, and mm-hmm. just like a normal round, but Golf Digest organized a tournament. And so, is it 10 o'clock here? They're like, did you guys get caddies? And then Angry Chris is like, you know, on him and his buddy with their push carts, the guy's like, no, no, we didn't. We didn't get the caddy. And then I get introduced to the two guys who did get the caddy. Ah, oh, we're high-fiving. What's up, big dog? I said, oh, what's that on your shirt? Gotcha. Okay. I said, let's go. Come on. It's time to roll. And we had a good time. And, you know, I kind of thought it was funny on the first hole. My guy says, which I almost gave him shit about, because he goes, oh, yeah, Brandon's here, you know, just use him if you want to.
Oh,
like, geez. Like, excuse me. Offered
your
me,
services?
Yeah, pimping you out. Use him if you want to. What am I, a dish rag? I looked at my guy. I was like, you know what? I was like, I like this guy. I was like, we'll let him go on that one. And I was going to come up with something smart, but I was in the middle of reading a putt, and I was just like, just let it go. So anyways... I cleaned his ball one time, this guy, and you should have seen the smile on his face.
This is Angry Chris, or?
Angry Chris. Yeah. This is before he was named Angry Chris.
Gotcha.
I cleaned his ball one time, and it was like I, you know, wiped his butt with like a cotton nail or something. Like, he was just like, oh, you know, he was stoked about it. And so... after a while, Chris and his Mira irons and all his cool golf clubs, he didn't play so well after like number five, and he started to get a little angry. And we saw a couple, you know, he helicoptered a club. He stuffed one in the ground. You know, he threw a club at his bag after he fatted some chip like 6 inches. And I'm like, come on, Angry Chris, you're pathetic. And that's the end of the story, really.
So Brandon was out there. He caddied. There was an angry dude. And he threw some clubs.
Dude, did you see the Twitter post I put out this morning?
I did not.
Okay. It was a boy I caddied for, it could be 2 years ago, from Boston. Super angry. When he really, really good lad. Nice lad. Not at all abusive or angry towards anyone else apart from himself. Mm-hmm. But he misses a putt, number 11 at the week course. And the reaction is just...
And you got it on video? Or?
Yeah, it was the only birdie putt he had in his life.
Oh, gotcha. So you were recording
it? I was recording it thinking, oh, he's got a chance of making this. This will make his year,
yeah,
his life.
Missed it by a mile.
And the reaction is gold. And it's one of those, the more you watch it, the better it gets, which is a good opportunity to tell people that you can check us out on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Glorified Donkey. Mm-hmm. We've got to move on, boys. We've got a few... mailbag questions and discussion points. If anyone does want to contact us, you can email podcast@glorifieddonkey.com. That's podcast@glorifieddonkey.com, or send a message via social media. So I got a few things here, boys. The first one comes from Coach Sean McLaughlin.
Coach?
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Where does he coach? What does he coach?
No, golf.
Gotcha.
Caddying in the rain is possibly among the top five most miserable things you can do in this world.
Mm.
What are the top five most miserable caddying conditions? So we got to make a list here. What are the top five worst things? I'll start. Being out there, which is with a guy like Mr. NFL that you know hates you,
yep,
or thinks he knows it all. Top just being the out list. There being miserable.
Top of the list.
Absolutely top of the list.
Yeah, some people you just can't please, or... they're just strange situations out there.
I would have to say the conditions, the rain. I find it miserable. I hate it.
Yeah, I mean, certainly rain is bad, especially like the rain we're supposed to get in the next few days is going to be torrential. When the greens start, they're underwater and you can't putt them, and people still want to play. It's like, you can't putt on these greens. They're ponds. Mm-hmm. And people are like, oh, we'll play through it. Well, no squeegee's going to help the greens. I mean, you're just mm-hmm. going to putt and the ball's going to stop. Why are we even out here?
Why are we out here?
It is miserable. I hate pouring rain.
Would you put bad golf up there?
We see so much.
I have so much patience for bad golf.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
It wouldn't make my top 20 of things. No, I couldn't care less.
Oh, no, yeah, it's... no big deal.
Heavy bags. That's number two on the list.
Behind heavy bags.
Mr. NFL is heavy bag. I mean, heavy golf. There's no point to carrying half the stuff you have in your bag. If it's heavy, mm-hmm. it shouldn't be out there. It shouldn't be carried.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the heavy bag.
Knowing you're going to get a shite tip.
Mm-hmm. That too.
Yeah, I'm glad I avoided that one today. Thanks to you guys and your morals, your peer support.
I think I'm slightly different when it comes to that, about the whole talking about money. I'm just very direct,
mm-hmm.
and just
I'm getting there.
You have straight out there, because you got to think that anyone that's coming to play these golf courses can afford you for the day.
Exactly. They've screwed over plenty of people in their lives. It's time for them to get some.
So,
I always say, like I said in text messages with Brandon yesterday, I said, you know, if this isn't agreeable to you, no hard feelings. See you later. I don't have to caddy for you. There's plenty of other caddies. Mm-hmm. You can get one off the bench and see what happens. I mean, mm-hmm. no hard feelings.
However you do it, whether you have a second calendar, you're getting your teeth sorted out, whatever. It's more polite. You don't want to put some, you know, you don't really want to make someone feel.
Exactly.
You know. So we got the horrible weather conditions.
We only get to
heavy bags, you know.
I know it all.
I know it all. I know everything.
Iron covers. Iron covers. Miserable.
People who can't putt, who have no idea.
Oh,
I love watching people make putts. I love being a part of the process of making a putt. And when you got somebody who's too proud to be helped with their alignment, and I will offer it once. Say, hey, if it gets this bad, say, hey, like, you obviously don't know where you're aimed. Let me help you. If they don't, guess what? You're on your own.
Yeah. See you later.
Talking about putting, next question is from John Day, who is a regular contributor. He's from Seattle. He is from Seattle. Where's Chambers Bay?
Seattle.
He's from Seattle. There you go. Does Bernard Langer anchor his putter? It looks like he does.
He does.
So why do the Champions Tour allow it? El Cheapo's forearm grip is also suspect.
Everything about El Cheapo is suspect, but let's just talk about Bernard. Yes, he does. Yeah. He does, and I don't know why they don't call him out for it, because it's against the rules.
It's golf.
Yeah.
Well, Patrick Reed's been cheating for years.
Valid point.
And one in Dubai this past winter was
absurd. Absurd.
You won't ever hear us agree with Brando Chambly very often, but
oh God,
he was spot on. Like, do you know what we're talking about?
I don't, unfortunately.
He's out playing in Dubai. He hits a tee shot into one of those big tall palm trees. The television clearly shows it going into one tree, and he's standing below another tree saying, oh, I can see my ball.
See, there's markings on it. There's an arrow on it. Well, there's an arrow on every single Pro V in America. I mean, every Pro V in production.
You think you're the first fat shit to hit a ball up in that tree?
And he finished second.
Yeah. Unbelievable. I mean, he's cheated in competition numerous times.
Good for you, video. Patrick. The world's full of cheaters, and you're one of them.
Next up is actually going on to talk about Tampon Gate, which was an incident that happened.
Surely you saw this, Brandon. You have to know what Tampon Gate is.
What tournament was it?
It was Riviera.
Riviera.
It was Riviera.
Well done, Carl.
Yeah.
And he's playing.
Was it in competition, or was it like?
It was in competition. Oh, yeah. Tiger Woods is playing with Justin Thomas. Hits the ball 30 yards past him off the tee and discreetly hands him a tampon. But what do we think of that, boys?
Go ahead, Brandon. No comment.
I kind of no comment, too. I think it's... I don't care. I mean, maybe if that's what you think is funny, Tiger, then that's great. But I don't think that he should have got, like, the what do you call it? The snapback from the media on that. Like, I think that's... Mm-hmm. Kind of
the
crazy.
Problem is there's cameras. You know, it was meant to be a joke between friends, between Tiger and JT. I don't think Tiger maybe has to be a little smarter and know that there's cameras out there. I mean, he had to know he was going to catch flack for that had it come to light, and it did.
He's maybe just not the most intelligent guy in the world.
Very true. He's not.
Yeah.
You know how I feel about a lot of things, the wokeness, the cancel culture law mob that want to just get rid of everyone's fun. I think I'm really perplexed that he would do it, knowing that every single move he's going to make, there's going to be 3,000 or 5,000 videos. That was the first thing. I just think it was a poor job doing a practice round.
Yeah.
Or something.
At your home club, you know.
But the reaction, absolutely ridiculous, as usual.
Not he'll unexpected. Survive.
I kind of want to know. Yes. Here's the real question.
The meat and gravy.
Where did that tampon come from?
Great question.
Was it premeditated?
Has to be. It has to be in his bag.
Did
he must play. He must
get it out of the linen closet in the hallway at the Riviera Club, or
did you actually see the news today breaking on Tiger and his ex girlfriend Erica Herman? Did you see that?
Oh yeah.
She's trying to sue. She's suing him to get out of her NDA that Tiger made her sign when they started dating.
Yeah. And there's something about she wants to sell her story about her life with him,
exactly.
Which is just another scumbag. Who knows what's going to come out of that?
Tiger all the same. Crazy.
I heard today as well that he's terminated his contract with Nike.
That's not surprising.
And he's going to move to Grayson.
No, it really?
Yeah. Wow.
Move to what?
That is surprising. Grayson.
Grayson.
Everybody is.
What's Grayson?
It's a clothing company. It's huge now. Huge. Oh. You see that little fox, that the fox logo that everybody's wearing? That's Grayson.
But going back to what...
Oh, sweet, dude.
mergers and acquisitions.
Everybody who does mergers and acquisitions from here to New York City is going to be wearing Fox Gate or Foxtail or whatever.
Grayson.
Grayson.
You did mention that was premeditated, so he must go around with tampons in his bag. Which, again, it's...
Questionable behavior.
Schoolboy. Is it schoolboy? Looking back now, his people, his representatives, his sponsors must just, and the PGA Tour must have just gone,
here we go. Yeah.
But it was amazing how quickly it was all hushed by the, not once he was asked about it. One question, and then we move on.
He gave his spiel and was done with it.
A lot of people were also sending asking for comment on Jay Monahan, Rory McIlroy, Brando Chambly, Eamon Lynch.
Oh, I'll be happy to comment on all that. I'll be happy to comment on all that.
Yes. So at this moment in time, we have a lot of regular listeners and there'll be new people that tune in. At this point in time, for the last year and a half, all of the aforementioned have been ripping in LIV Golf, talking about no cuts, limited fields, guaranteed prize money, and how it's so awful for the game. And just this past couple of weeks, they're... PGA Tour are going to do exactly the same thing.
All their elevated events are going to become 70-player fields and no cuts. Massive FedEx Cup, extra FedEx Cup points awarded.
Yeah.
Massive pay jump. I mean, they're doing exactly what LIV did. And because of what LIV did, they should be down on their hands and knees thanking LIV Tour for making them more money.
Rory McIlroy actually said that LIV has been great for golf.
He did say that.
He literally said that. He says that it's been great for golf. That's unbelievable, the hypocrisy of these people and how the media are so complicit with it as well.
Yeah.
They're not even getting quizzed on it and saying, hey, well, you said this last year.
And our boy Brandel Chambly last year when LIV started, he was like, this is going to ruin the golf. Yeah. 54 hole, no cuts. And then he's saying how diverse and how great this no cut is and how they're going to see all the stars for 4 days in a row. It's like, Brandel, give it a rest. He's just a shill for the PGA Tour. And Monahan.
What a sleaze.
He's going to be out in the next year and a half because he's botching the whole thing. Yeah. He's botching it.
He's messed up the whole.
Yeah.
I think he's probably the one guy that's responsible for all of this friction.
Oh, big time.
Greg Norman gets blamed for it, but it's not him. He was willing to hear. Listen, let's talk.
Indeed, you see what he just did yesterday at TPC? He took all the caddies on the PGA Tour out for sushi and their girlfriends and wives. The PGA Tour is paying for all of it. They're all drinking, having sushi, and he said, "We're gonna do this every week.
Hey,
every
maybe
week, yeah."
What kind of cognac do you have? You guys have some Remy VSOP 1898.
Brilliant!
That is brilliant.
What do you think? Hypocrisy.
I really have no comment. I think there's a lot of disgusting things going on in the world.
For someone that's got so many no comments, he talks a lot.
I really like to watch an organization like the PGA squirm and need to mold, change their ways to accommodate a new, what do you even call it? A way to market golf.
Yeah.
And so, you know what? I think it's funny. You know, I am no part of it. I'm just a caddy, right?
It's a good point, though.
I love the game of golf, and I think it's hilarious how people are so. What do you? What word am I looking for? It's like it's all about the money, mm-hmm. right? It's at the end of the day, it's all about the money. That's yeah. what anybody cares about. It's not even about golf. This whole live thing. And their whole teams and them throwing balls up in the air and, oh, we're this team and that team. I honestly, I think it's off-putting to me.
Yeah, well, they're trying to create a product, but you're right. It's all yeah. about money. It's I all mean, about
so,
money.
So were our boy bands. Boy bands are a product, too. Mm-hmm. You know, and it seems very boy bandish.
I think that's a really good point. And that's one that I've been very consistent about this from the start, correct? About 2 years.
Regarding what? Regarding?
LIV Golf, PGA Tour. I said, I can't stand the hypocrisy of it.
Yeah.
Everything's negative about LIV, but it's so... And now I've been completely proven correct.
Oh, the writing was on the wall.
But the U-turn here from all these guys now defending what they're going to do, it's... They talk about we have to market ourselves differently. If you're going to market something differently, that it can only mean one thing, and it's all about money.
Very That's true. It.
Why would you have to market golf differently?
Yeah, it's golf, man.
And it's bullshit. No one's growing the game.
Nobody's growing the game. Nobody.
It's all about growing their own, you know, finances.
Bank accounts, yeah.
And unfortunately, you just have this, it's just like the economics in everyday life. It's so top heavy now. And you really worry for the likes of the KFC Tour. The DP Tour, it's basically been destroyed. The European former European Tour, it's just... It's
true. I think the KFC Tour is going to be just fine. But yeah, DP Tour is in trouble.
But I think that was all part of the plan, was to get that guy Keith Pelley in there and just... He could be Monaghan's right-hand man just to internally destroy it from inside.
You're but all complicit.
I'll give you one thing. Thomas Peters, the Belgian player, the week of Riviera, he was ranked number 33 in the world.
Yeah, I saw that.
And he couldn't get into Riviera because it was only the top 30 in the world, and then it went PGA Tour. That's shocking. And he's now gone across to LIV because he can still play European Tour events, he can still play majors, and then he gets money from LIV. Why would he stay in the PGA Tour? Why would anyone that's out with the top 30, you know, who's not playing on this tour?
But I am excited about the fact that other than the PGA Championship, they're going to play, actually, and including the PGA Championship now, they're gonna have anybody who's eligible can play in it, which is great, because now you're going to actually, at least in the majors, I think in future months and maybe a year or two, you're going to see them be able to play wherever they want.
Oh, 100%.
But for now, you're going to get to see all the best players play the same tournaments at least five times a year, which is great.
That's good stuff. Okay, lads, we need to move on to shout-outs. Zabo, what you got?
We ready to start now? Well, I'll let
Brandon... Go ahead, Zabo.
I'll got to let Brandon shout-out Logan because he is back. Logan, we'll get to you in a minute.
Yeah, for old time's sake, let's give a shout-out to my brother-in-law, Logan, who deserves a shout-out because he is a new dad.
Oh, wow. Oh, fantastic. Nice.
Yep. My youngest sister, Alyssa, had... Poppy Noel Smith on February 5th.
Poppy Noel?
My sister's middle name is Noel, and her name is now Poppy Noel Smith.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah.
Anyone else?
You know what? I wish I knew your guys' names. I'm sure you're listening. The guys I ran into who had Dean and Mike as caddies, I was walking to the 17th tee box, and you guys were on the fourth tee. It was great to see you. Thanks for saying hello. Thanks for listening.
I got to shout out my good friend Brian and Larry from north of the border in Canada. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to seeing them again. The kinky chinky, as they call them.
Watch this.
I got to shout out Chris and Jim from that group we had with our NFL players. Brady, Kasten, and Quaid, who were in the group. We had a lot of fun that day. They took it pretty deep, and they had a lot of fun. That was fun. Dave Thompson and BJ from the Strixon, they played well a couple weeks ago. And then last but not least, Jeff Scalise, our boy was in town who you've never met, but he gave us that job that was on the very, very low end of the gratuity.
And
he
actually smoked fags all day.
Yeah, that guy. So I got to shout out Jeff. He was here. Steve Giannini.
Jeff still owes me money. You still owe me money, mate.
Steve, Bill Cole, Zippy and Turbo. These guys have some of the best nicknames in their group.
And Zippy and Turbo.
Zippy, Turbo, Jacob. I got to shout out those guys. So Zippy told me, he's like, the rules for nicknames in our group is you can't give yourself your nickname.
Of course.
And it has to be something that you really kind of irritates you and you don't like. I said, that is genius. That is how nicknames should be. You can't like it. You know, you can't like it. So Zippy and Turbo.
I knew a guy back home called Zippy. Zippy.
And what did they call him Zippy for?
He looked like a cartoon character. If you ever want, check it out. Just Google search Zippy and Bungo. And he's a Zippy, the big round head face. You know, a zip for the mouth.
Yeah.
But a big round head. Like, it wasn't, listen, it would be like calling maybe a good looking guy, Brad Pitt.
Gotcha.
He was called Zippy for a reason.
I gotcha. Oh, yeah. And I also got a shout out, last but not least, is Julie Career, my sister in law. She said she's still been listening and wanted a shout out. So
cheers, Julie.
Shout out to you, Julie.
Yeah. I got a shout out a guy called Paul White from San Diego. Potentially one of the most proactive guys I have ever carried for.
Really?
This guy could not do enough for me.
Did he, regular listener to the podcast?
He will be, never knew about it. Wow. I just met him this past week and he will start listening. But he would be 60 yards out. I'd walk across from the cart. He'd have his wedge. I'd give him his wedge. I'd have the putter. As I'm walking to the green or to the other player, he would hit his shot. Then he would go back to the cart, clean the club and put it back in the bag.
Wow.
That type of
caddy's dream. That's a caddy's dream.
He was wonderful. Took his rangefinder. He was getting his own numbers. He was even getting numbers for the other players.
He knows Gordon to a T. Knows Gordon doesn't like to work.
Doesn't even listen to the podcast.
Did you split your tip with him?
No. There's a girl called Rebecca Tacos. Right? I don't know if that's Tacos.
Tacos or Tacos?
T-A-C-O-S?
Aye.
Tacos.
Could be. It's an Instagram.
Tacos?
Follower. She's for her boyfriend. Husband is called Chunk.
Chunk.
He's a caddy.
Hey, you guys.
Colorado Golf Club in Parker. And she's a horticulturist.
Yeah. Growing some weed up
there.
They're
massive, massive fans.
Awesome.
So, hello, folks, and thanks for your support.
Now, Chunk, that's got to be hopefully one of those nicknames he didn't give himself, and he probably doesn't love
it. No, one's given himself that nickname.
And he doesn't love it.
No.
Good for you, Chunk.
Alex H., and he's from Northern Virginia in DC area. Another Instagram follow. And a guy called Bartman and TQ. Both guys on Instagram there. So, guys, thanks for listening. So
I got one more shout out.
Go on. Logan? Logan.
I wish I knew Mark's last name, but Mark from Palos Verdes Country Club or Golf Club or whatever it is. We had a great time. We had him for 3 days.
We caddied for the other Palos Verdes group.
You did?
Yeah. Gordon, that was...
I had a great time.
That was our boy Steve who came out of the bathroom.
Steve that destroyed the bathroom.
Oh, Steve the Destroyer.
Unbelievable. I can just see it as well. That was. I wish you could see Zabo's face with me. Because it was on the tee and he was kind of quiet. He says, oh, by the way.
And, yeah, I just met this guy.
You know.
God, it smells like something died in here.
Yeah. It did too.
That's rough, right? Great. Sometimes you walk in and you're like, oh.
I'll wet my
towel outside.
I had a conversation with some boys having lunch the other day about that, and I've now been able to shake this. But for a long period of time there, when I went to a public bathroom, I had this compulsion that if people leave like pieces of toilet paper or, you know, for whatever you're drying your hands with, whatever, mm-hmm. if it was lying everywhere, I would have to, like you were picking up dog shit, you know, in a bag, I would take a couple of hand towels and then pick everything up around and clean the area up. No, clean the floor up. I don't know why.
Oh, really?
It was a compulsion. It was really bad.
I do that with, like, toilet seats. Yeah.
Hey, at least you weren't picking hair out of the sink.
Yeah. Well, I did that too. I got over that. But yeah, anyway, boys, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Listeners, if you're new to the podcast, go back. There's another 105 to listen to. If you have any questions, comments, send them in. Podcast at glorifieddonkey.com or follow us on social media and message us that way. Man Bun, welcome back. It's great
Thank
to have you.
Thank you. Yeah, good times.
Zabo, as always.
Thank you.
Merci. And for all the listeners out there, go out, check out Big Game Golf app. That's our new sponsor.
Definitely.
We will, in the next couple of weeks or next couple of episodes, I'll get the new theme tune. I'm not going to promise when, but yeah, it's coming.
It's probably not, but...
But until the next time...
It's coming.
Get out there.
Sometime.
And enjoy your golf.